Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Xbox Mojo. My name is Thomas and with me is Token. What's going on? So happy new year to you and to all of our listeners. Was it a good start for you this year?
So the new year started off pretty good. I was with my family for the week in between Christmas and New Year's, and I made the mistake of being out in the cold, damp air longer than I should have been. So I got a little sick. So I've been real like sniffly and coughy the last few days. But other than that, pretty good start to the year.
Yeah, fine.
How about you? How was your New Year's?
Good. Short and sweet. Good. Yeah. It was just hanging around with the family, with my dad, and that was nice because last year was difficult. So it was just nice to have a normal, boring, maybe holidays basically, and yeah, nothing happened, and that's good.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So did you play something during your holidays?
My apologies, we just talked all this time before we started recording and I didn't cough once, and then all of a sudden now here's the coughing fits. I played a few games over the holiday, hit my tried and trues, did some Halo Infinite, got back into playing some State of Decay 2, with some friends. Also played, preparing myself for the future for what games are in store for 2024. I'm trying to beat the first, turn-based game that I've played, will have beaten, not played, because I start them and then don't finish. I'm trying to beat Lost Odyssey. It's my first time actually getting this far in the game, and I want to actually get through one because there are several turn-based games that I want to play this year, and I want to kind of actually beat something in order to prepare myself for those. So Halo Infinite, State of Decay 2, Lost Odyssey, and Starfield, which took a big portion of the later half of this holiday time for me playing. I don't know what happened. I just like turned it on one day. And I played it for like 3 days straight.
Okay. So what did you do?
I still haven't beaten it yet because I'm taking it in chunks. I'm not really a big, like, vast open world game player, so I'm kind of taking it in stride. So I got to a certain point in the main mission, and I was like, hey, let me go back and start doing some of the side stuff, some of the faction quests and stuff. Yeah. So I started doing the UC Vanguard faction line, and I started really getting into that. But then as I was getting into that, Barrett, his companion quest came about. So I kind of sidetracked onto Barrett's companion quest. I finished that. But then from doing Barrett's companion, because this is why I don't play open world games, especially ones that I like enjoy playing, because I realize now, because this is my first Bethesda game. I realize now that other than their games being ugly, in my opinion, at the time, now not so much. The thing that I hated about those games, because I would go in and be like, I got lost and I don't know what to do, and I went to did this and I went and did this and I went and did 12 things, is actually what the lore of those games are. So like, I added probably another 30 hours of Starfield over like a few days. But I can't really say that I got much done because I kept getting sidetracked. I'm like, okay, let me go survey some planets over here. Okay, let me go do some of these side quests over here. Yeah. Okay, let me do some of this mission quest here. But the focus on Starfield right now is to get through the UC Vanguard faction quest line. That's what I'm going to focus on doing before I continue doing the main quest. That's what I've been doing in that.
So do you do the crafting, or
So not yet. I haven't the crafting. I don't really do much crafting in games because I just use whatever I pick up in the world most of the time. The crafting is extensive, but I haven't opened up any of the options for skills yet because all my skills so far have been focused on my ship. And actually, yeah, most of my skills have been focused on my ship and scanning stuff. For some reason, that's what I gravitated to.
Yeah, but you're not building your own ships or space stations or what it's called.
Well, not space stations yet. I haven't really gotten super deep into the ship builder, but I have a ship that I made, and then I keep like adjusting and fixing and tweaking it. So this is like the 12th iteration of this one ship, and probably I have over 100 hours in Starfield now, and probably about 20 of that is in the ship builder, even though it's just me messing around, like redoing this one ship.
Well, it's more than me. Basically, I just use I remember getting one ship, the Mantis or so, in a side mission, which was cool, and I like the ship.
So
It's a
I like stealing ships. So like if I get the space
ah
fights, yeah, if I get the space fights
yeah
and like the ship doesn't get destroyed, I dock with it and take it. So
yeah
that's one of the reasons why I've been the shipbuilder so much, 'cause I just every time I have the opportunity to snatch a ship, I snatch a ship.
yeah yeah it's good. Yeah, I went through the main story, and then in the New Game Plus I did some side quests. I finished the Vanguard quest, so I liked it. I finished two factions quests lines. So I'm in the third right now. So I would go back to Starfield this year, basically.
I'm looking forward to Shattered Dimension, Shattered Space. Yeah, Shattered Space coming out. I want to see what that's about. To my understanding, again, first BGS game is that their DLCs normally come out and are really good.
Right now I'm waiting for the Fallout 4 upgrade, because I didn't finish the Fallout 4 DLCs, and I heard good things about it.
So yeah, I'm now looking forward to the Fallout 4 next gen upgrade because just again real quick because we're talking about BGS games. BGS games have always been this. They have been like in my head. They've been there. It's like, oh, this is cool. Like Fallout always looked cool. Other than like I thought Fallout 3 was ugly, but the concept for Fallout 3 was awesome. And I played a little bit of it. I got killed by some giant ants and didn't get that far. But and the same thing with the Elder Scrolls games. So now that I've actually, I think like Starfield is my jumping in point for Bethesda games, I think, because they gave me the setting where I was like, yeah, no, this is the perfect time to jump in. Post-apocalypse is cool, but there's other post-apocalyptic games. The you know, I'm fantasy is cool, but I'm not like the biggest fantasy RPG guy. So you give me an RPG in space where I can, you know, basically the last time I've been this excited, had this much fun and been so into a space RPG was the Mass Effect trilogy. So that's how I feel about Starfield. So, but because I've enjoyed Starfield so much, it's making me like, oh, let me see some of their other games. And with Fallout 4 getting the next gen up upgrade treatment soon, I think.
Hope
It
so.
that seems like a good place for me to jump into the Fallout series as well. I've dabbled, but I haven't like finished the game. Maybe I'll actually finish Fallout 4.
I will be my first try on Xbox then. So because in 2015, I guess, I played it on PS4. I platinumed it, and now I'm looking forward to it on Xbox because 4K and 60 FPS, I guess, and we will see what other improvements they'll do, and then it's my time to do the whole replay of the story and a whole new playthrough, and then finally getting to the DLCs. Tell me something about Lost Odyssey, if you can, because it's a 2008-ish, 2008 or 7. It must be 2008.
Is it? Wait, no, it's well, so far, because I'm not 2007.
Okay,
so far, because I'm not terribly far in it, but I'm far enough to be like, I think halfway through the first disc.
Okay.
It definitely was a pretty game when it came out in 2007. In 2023/24 now, on my 50-inch 4K display, it hasn't lost its prettiness, but is now like water painting pretty versus being like graphically intense pretty, because that 720p on the screen isn't the way we want things to go. But outside of that, I'm enjoying the combat system for as much as I can enjoy a turn-based combat system. Not that I don't like it, I just don't play those games that much. I'm trying not to grind. I think one of the things that bothers me about playing those games like that is having to grind battles constantly, which is making the larger battles a little bit more difficult, but that also makes it more of a strategy match than just like spamming attacks match, I guess. So it, I guess, is working out that way for me. The story is really interesting to me, especially the little like side content. You get like these, you unlock dreams, and the dream, because he's an immortal, but he doesn't have all his memories. So he remembers his memories through these dreams. So talking to certain people or doing certain actions or just like playing through the story unlocks some of these dream sequences. God, if they did a remake or they did a sequel to this game, I would love for these dream sequences to be animated, or at least like, because you're just reading like large blocks of text, but they're so good. It is I forget the writer's name, but it's a specific writer that did these dream stories. But the dream stories are really interesting, and they're really emotion eliciting. Some of them I'm like, oh, this is really sad, or that's crazy that happened. And just each time that they come up, I'm like, okay, like I'm kind of like, I gotta read like 15 minutes worth of text in the middle of this game, but also that's a pretty good 15 minutes worth of text to read. So that's where I'm at so far. The plot for the game is standard, I think, but what I just mentioned, those things are pretty good. So it's keeping me entertained, and I'll be pressing through.
Yeah, it's a backlog game for me, because I remember the conversation about it's the better Final Fantasy, because it was compared to Final Fantasy 13 or so. It's from the guy who who basically invented Final Fantasy.
So in terms of the it's very reminiscent, at least to me, of Final Fantasy X.
Okay. Yeah.
Well not directly like it, but just in terms of how the game plays and the level design and stuff like that. And X, just a brief history of my history with Final Fantasy. X is the one that I played the most of, and I learned that I wasn't as far in the game as I thought I was, like, years later. Because I was like, yeah, I almost beat the game. I fought Sin. Sorry for spoilers, but the game came out, what, in, like, 2010, whatever. I was like, oh, I fought Sin. And then they were like, oh, you probably, you got to fight this other person. Like, it was still going. I was like, all right, so I got to do something else. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to go fight. I looked at like the player guide. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I'll go. I got like one more fight to fight. That's what I thought for years. I thought, oh, okay, I only had one more fight to fight. I didn't get to finish it because, did I break my PlayStation? I think I broke my PlayStation. Somehow, some way. Yeah.
Why? Or, so you hit it against the wall.
No, so I went through three PlayStation 2s. The first one I had, my dog like pulled the cord and that pulled the PlayStation off of like my dresser and it smashed to the ground.
Okay.
My second one was a Slim and I was playing one of the Dragon Ball Z Budokai games. And I was getting mad at one of the boss battles that I was fighting that I couldn't beat. So I like punched the PlayStation.
And okay. It's
not working.
You punched a Slim.
Yes, I punched a Slim. And not like,
Slim is tiny.
I slammed my hand on the top of the Slim and yeah, ruined that. But
the PS2 and, Slim was really tiny. And
yeah. I know.
Okay.
And then my third one disappeared when I came back from basic training in like 2008. Okay. And actually after I lost my PS2, that's why I got an Xbox 360.
And you never punched your Xbox.
No, actually never punched my Xbox. But so I didn't get to finish after the second one broke. That's when I was playing Final Fantasy X and I didn't get to finish it. And I don't know why I never went back to it. But I might actually. No, I'm not. Probably. I'm not going to lie. I was about to lie and say I'm going to go back to it, but probably not.
Yeah. Okay, fair. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I played during the holiday some games. I beat Marvel Spider-Man 2, best PS5 game last year, best Insomniac game. Really liked it. I beat Super Mario RPG, which is a remake from a Super Nintendo game from 1994 or something like this. Was okay. Didn't age that well, gameplay wise. And then I played and finally beat Cocoon for Series X.
Oh yes, I thoroughly enjoyed Cocoon.
Yeah. It was Inception the game. Basically, it was weird sometimes. So you put your marble in the other marble, and then
Did you have any standout puzzles that were a little difficult, or that like had you that kind of racked your brain a little bit, or did you kind of fly through it?
No, not flying at all. because in the later parts, you have to put. The orange, is it marble or what is it?
So I was just calling the worlds because, like, so I was like, oh, I got the little, world. I got the blue world. I got the purple world.
Yeah,
I got
but you put
the orange world. Orbs? Yeah. Marble, you call them marbles.
Marble orbs, yeah. So, and then you take the orange one and took it in the green world, and then you go out in the green world and put the purple one in there and something like that, and you said...
when you started having to, like, take that marble into that world and you use it there, that's when it started. I was like, okay, like, you guys are... You guys are doing a little too much here, but it was great. I really enjoyed it. And the one boss fight with where like it kept moving the platforms, and you had to use the you had to keep swapping yourself. That boss fight was kicking my behind. Like okay. I had a rough time with that boss. That's probably the hardest boss that, at least the boss that I had the hardest time with was that one. I got kicked back out of that fight so many times.
Okay. Yeah, no. I liked this mechanics. Had no problems with this boss. Maybe one or two tries at most. Before that, there were some... The one before or two befores, I don't know. And then there were... That was the one I had problems with. But overall, I like the boss fights. So, yeah. I didn't expect boss fights in this game. And then they were there. And then I was happy with it.
Yeah, so, it was definitely like a good mixture of puzzles and boss fights.
And in this year, there are gonna be lots of games, I guess. So we hope that there are gonna be a lot of games. Until now, we only are assured that the first quarter is good. So. Because there are barely
anything else is just in the wind,
right? Yeah, I get so if you're looking on which games are announced for the second half of the year, it's like the Chinese game of the
Black Myth Wukong.
Yeah, so that's one of the only games, I guess. So two or three games. This is one of it.
Oh, and I guess if you want to count, we can count the Final Shape. It's supposed to come out in June, but that's more so because it got delayed. So that might not even be that solid of a date.
Right. Yeah. And Microsoft didn't give us any dates until this recording, at least. So we know. Yeah.
I'm hoping we see they haven't announced one yet. I'm assuming they are. I'm hoping we see another developer direct like we did last year. Because I thought that was a great way to start the year with this is what you should expect for the year in terms of first party games.
Yeah, and that set the mood. Yeah.
That's a good if you're not starting every year like that, why not? Setting the mood of, hey, this is what we're planning on bringing to you for this year. So hopefully we get an announcement soon of that for direct, because that's going to be dope.
Because we are waiting for dates for Era, History Untold for PC, Evolved, Hellblade 2, Towerborn, and... Flight Sim? Is there another game for Xbox?
Not that's been announced for 2024, but I would almost guarantee that we see at least one or two more announced sometime over the year for the rest of this year outside of those.
So we need dates for the announced games, and we are hoping for some surprises.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So, your most anticipated games, do you have any this year?
So I'm gonna be straight, and I'm definitely unless it's something that's coming out and I don't and it's not gonna be on there. There's a few games. I'll stick with the games that aren't coming out on Game Pass that I want to play, because all the ones with Game Pass, they're there. First one coming up, honestly, is I do want to give a quick shout out. January, Like a Dragon: Infinite Wealth comes out. I have not played through the Yakuza games, but I want to, and I committed enough to buy. I bought Yakuza Kiwami, Yakuza Kiwami 2, Yakuza 0. And Like a Dragon 7. So
yes.
I committed enough to buy those four games, and they will get played eventually. And eventually, I'll make it all the way to infinite wealth. But it looks like that's going to be pretty cool for the people that are going to be playing it. We know a lot of people that are going to be playing it. But the first one that I know for sure that I'm like, I'm putting money to this is Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League, surprisingly. And
okay.
I say surprisingly. Yeah, unexpected, right? I say surprisingly because this was not the – if you told me in 2021 which game to double down on, Gotham Knights or Suicide Squad, I doubled down on Gotham Knights. And I doubled down on Gotham Knights hard because I was like, this isn't the game that I want. Nobody care about Suicide Squad, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Even when they showed the gameplay footage for it, I was like, Rocksteady, what are you doing? What are you doing, Rocksteady? That's not what we want from you. That's not that Arkham Knight goodness that you gave us, this Arkham Asylum goodness, this Arkham City goodness that you gave us for the last, like, 10 years. What are y'all doing?
Yeah.
And then I can't say much about it. I'm pretty sure I can't say much about it, but I did the alpha test. I ain't going to say anything else about what happened during the alpha test, but I'm pretty sure I can't. But all I can say is, I'm buying Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League. So
ooh.
That, I mean, that's
$70 game, right?
I don't know. So now let
full price.
I don't know if I'm buying it full price. So let me be clear with that. I don't know if I'm buying it day one. I might not be buying it day one. It depends. But I know that I will be making this purchase for sure.
Okay. So
it's
not a bad sign.
Not a bad sign at all. Then another game that I'm definitely making the purchase, and it probably won't be day one either, but I saw it. I'm excited to play it. I'm real not about spending $70 on games, especially games that I'm like iffy about. And especially because I have so many games in my backlog and on Game Pass. If I had less games in my backlog, if I didn't have Game Pass, then $70 here, $70 there, no problem. But between all the games that I have, between the games that I have in my backlog from just buying games on sale, and then all the stuff that's coming out on Game Pass, I'm much pickier with where I spend my monies.
Rightfully so.
Well, said that to say, the second game is Banishers. Banishers the New Eden?
Banishers of the New Eden. Yeah.
The game from Donut.
Ghost of New Eden, yes, right.
Ghost of New Eden, yeah, there we go. From seeing that first trailer that they showed her that, I was like, oh, this is Donut. This is dope. This looks good. And from then, they haven't shown anything that's made me not be like, oh, this looks, this looks good. I want to play it.
Yeah,
I just want to wait to see what it looks like when it actually comes out before I take the dive. Because I definitely am done 100% pre-ordering games or buying games day one, period. Even if I spend full price for it, I don't pre-order or buy games day one. Just because the last few years have been kind of, with games releasing on day one. So I want to see what it looks like when it drops before I put money towards it.
Good call. And then we are getting a remaster, like Tomb Raider 1, 2, 3 remastered. This is coming in February as well.
You ever played through those?
Yes, I did back then on PlayStation. 1996 or something like that. I don't know when the first one came out. I tried to replay these games, and I can't because the controls are terrible. I can't play these games anymore. So because it's a tank control like controls for action 3D action adventure where you have to jump and to fight wolves and shooting and all, and then said, oh, I can't. The timing for the jumps are difficult too. And I sat there and said, how the hell could you beat this game 20 years ago?
I never played the original games. Well, I never played them all the way through. My dad played the first three, and I watched him play through the first three.
Yes.
And, like, you know, once in a while, he'd be like, hey, here's the controller while I go use the bathroom. That's about as much, like, interaction that I had with the original games. But I've played through, I still have to finish Shadow, but I played through the remakes, and I really like those. Right. But I'm leaving the original trilogy in my head the way that it is with I watch my dad play those.
Yeah,
As extensive as the remaster looks, like, it's definitely an upgrade from those old games.
Yeah,
it's like it's making a 1996 game look like a 2001 game, and I'm not really, and it's impressive, but not impressive enough for me to buy the money to get the remaster. I know there are going to be people that love these games and played these games or never played the originals and like, oh, let me go back. It's too far back for me. Once we get that far back in games, I'm like, I can't do it anymore. Just remake it for me, please. they did.
Yeah.
Ish. Sure. Ish.
I guess they have the toggle to switch between old and new graphics like they did with Halo Combat Evolved. I like that, and I just want to replay it with better controls. And if I am getting that, then I'll be fine. Just to replay the old games, but I can control the game finally again. I'm hoping for that. Well, another release this first quarter is Skull and Bones, the game that's in development for 10 years. Over 10 years, right. And it was delayed 5 or 6 times. And now after 6 years after Skull and after Sea of Thieves, we are finally getting
the Sea of Thieves killer finally coming out.
So, to be fair, any thoughts on that?
Wait, did they? I'm trying to remember. Was that like something that they said, or was that just something that people like a moniker that people put on it? Were they like,
Well, I guess it was the timing because it was shown after Sea of Thieves.
It was shown like right after it was released. Like I think Sea of Thieves released in March, and then it was shown at E3 2018.
Something like that. And then everybody was said, "Yeah, no, we're finally getting a proper pirate game because Sea of Thieves didn't launch well, so there was hope for Skull and Bones, I guess, because people like the segments in Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag, the ship fighting and so. Everybody thought it's an easy win to put these segments into an old
game. And make it a whole game, yeah.
Yeah, right. Here we are.
So, another game that I actually like, because I whenever I get the opportunity to play games, especially because I like talking about games, I play them just because I don't like talking. I don't like giving an opinion on something that I haven't played.
Right.
So if I'm giving my opinion on stuff, I want to give my opinion on something that I've given at least a try, given a hand. So I signed up for the closed beta and I played the game on the closed beta. And I think there's an audience for the game. It's not me, but there's an audience for the game. I feel like if you just want the ship battle stuff, you're golden. If you just want ship battle stuff, you are golden. Have at it. But if you were expecting to get a pirate game, like the whole experience for being a pirate, then you got ship battles.
Okay.
That And I don't, because I don't want to, like, I played it. I could see where the people that are into this game are going to like it. So I don't want to badmouth it too much. I just know it's not for me because I wanted the ship battle stuff plus, like, exploration and going on different islands and actually participating in sieges and stuff, like Assassin's Creed Black Flag without the Assassin's Creed stuff. Just go be a pirate. That's the kind of game that I wanted it to be. And I know this game isn't that, so I'm not going to judge it off of what it's not, but off of what it is. If you like just the ship battle part, then you're going to have a fun time. I feel like I might have enjoyed it more if I upgraded my ship more, but the grind to get to an upgraded ship to enjoy that ship wasn't something that I was interested in doing in the amount of time that I have in the game.
Yeah. My biggest fear is Ubisoft itself and how long they are going to support this game. So because I wouldn't be shocked if in 1 or 2 years it's gone. So and
I feel like that would be a shame because it's like, yo, if you were going to do that, y'all might as well just release the game 3 years ago at this point. Like if you're just going to send it out there and then not support it afterwards, then why'd y'all make them work on it for 10 years?
Yeah, that's my question, and I'm looking forward to it. So how it will plan out for Ubisoft and how they will support it, because I guess in the last years they had trouble with the after release support for some of their games.
Mm-hmm. So wait, did you just want to bring Skull and Bones up, or are you planning on getting Skull and Bones? Okay.
Absolutely not. The last Ubisoft game I bought was Mario vs. Rabbids. the one from 2022. That wasn't because of Ubisoft. and the last game before that I beat from them was how was it called? It was 2020, this Zelda spin Zelda clone in the Greek mythology.
What is it called? It was called Gods and Monsters before, and it got Immortals Phoenix Rising.
That's I beat it on my Series X in 2020. Yeah.
Okay. The last Ubisoft game I bought is I pre-ordered Watch Dogs Legions. I have a total of 4 hours in that game.
Right, me too. So I bought, but it was a Series X launch, and I said, "Well, I need some next gen games." I bought
exact thing,
Watch Dogs and Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and I played Assassin's Creed Valhalla for 10 hours or 12, and I quit.
Way more than 12 hours to play that game. My roommate's playing Assassin's Creed Valhalla. That game is a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah, it's overwhelming a lot.
Yeah,
it's and Watch Dogs. I thought at the beginning, oh yeah, nice, and then after 3-4 hours, I was done. I was
And I really liked Watch Dogs 2. I beat Watch Dogs. Actually, I found out that I got some DLC missions that I need to beat, so I'm probably going back to it at some point. But I really like Watch Dogs 2. I got Watch Dogs 1 San later, haven't beat it yet. Yes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I was expecting for the character system in Watch Dogs Legions. this wasn't on purpose, by the way. I was expecting for the character system and Watch Dogs Legions to be more like the character system in State of Decay 2, where everybody has like their own individual traits and like they have their special abilities and stuff, and like each person is not wholly unique, but each person is unique in what their use purpose is as you play the game. And I thought like a lot of the gameplay would be catered more towards that, towards like, oh, you can pick up, you can recruit anybody you want, and each person has a certain use case.
Yeah.
And that's not really what it was about. And I just kind of, because I had that expectation, it kind of deflated my interest in playing the game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I made the same thing. I bought a few games because I was like, oh, I got an Xbox. That I got my shiny new Xbox. Let me get some next-gen games.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned Like a Dragon. So, yeah, it was one of the games I bought in 2020 because everybody said it's a JRPG. It's more than a JRPG now, and it's a, if you like Dragon Quest, and I like Dragon Quest, you will like a Dragon. And then I said, yeah, great. And I can tell it's not a big spoiler, I guess, because it's, if you're 2 hours in or so, you will experience it. So you left prison. And then the game start, the real game started, I guess. And that's the time I said, okay, then I will play it later.
So here's my thing, right? Because this is one of the reasons why I have to go back to Like a Dragon. Because I thought the premise of the game was amazing. Because it yes. is, for all intent and purposes, you are playing an RPG story, but in the modern world. So, right. Like, when you look at, like, fantasy RPGs and stuff, like, you play as adventurers. What are adventurers in the modern world? They are hobos doing odd jobs. So the fact that the game is you basically, like, well, at least the game, the part that I'm on, because I haven't gone like right. much further than the game, but at least the fact that you start off as like a homeless person doing odd jobs after you get out of jail
is
like a perfect beginning for a modern world like event, like RPG, because it's basically the same start off that you have in every fantasy game, just in a fantasy world. Like, right. you're a hobo, you have no money, you have nowhere to stay. Like, they, like, you're like, you have no money, you have nowhere to stay, you're in some strange place that you're not actually from, or you don't have anywhere to go back to, and then it's you going into the world and doing things. Like a Dragon is like that, but it's in the city, and you're homeless.
Yeah, because of the release of Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. So that was the point where I was sitting here this week, and I said, the new one is coming out. You have to finish the old one. And it's not on Game Pass, the new one. So you have to buy it.
It is. Infinite Wealth won't be. Yeah, you're right.
Infinite Wealth is not. Yeah. So you have to buy it. And then I said, okay, I don't have to buy it yet, because I don't have finished the old one. So, but I said to me, oh, well, if you finish the old one, then until then, the new one will be cheaper. So, because it will take some time, and maybe then I could buy it. So, maybe in April or May or something.
You don't always have to buy things like as soon as they come out.
Right.
So,
yeah, but it's on my list. So, it's my, it's on my Hidden Champions list or something. So,
and I know you have at least one or two more, I think, for the next couple months, right? I know one we talked about earlier. I'm looking at a list. I feel like at least one more of these other ones are on your big list. But I'm gonna let you talk.
Persona 3 Reload or Reloaded. Is this Reload or Reloaded?
I think it's just Reload.
It's just Reload. Yeah, it's just Reload. Reloaded Matrix was Reloaded, right?
Yeah.
So it's Persona 3 Reload, because I played Persona 3 Portable and I hated it. Because it's I tried it out because it was on Game Pass, and it's a visual novel. And I said, well, I don't like visual novels. And I expected downgraded Persona 5 experience. So I didn't get that. But then they announced this remake, and this is really looking like Persona 5. And so I will try Persona 3 Reload.
Yeah, when they announced that Persona 3 Portable was being like released on Xbox, I thought that was odd just because of my understanding of how different the PSP version of the game is from like the regular game.
Right.
But maybe they should have announced both of those at the same time, like, because they just didn't. They announced Persona 3 Reloaded like later, so I think that's the game that people expected.
Yes.
And like, you know, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't check those. I think, like, you know, we just had our whole my turn-based background. So, right. And those games, you know, everybody's saying that those games are at least 70 to 120 something hours to beat. That's not where I want to cut my teeth.
Yeah, that's my problem.
100-hour RPG.
Yeah, and there's a lot of RPGs this year. So
yeah.
If you like turn-based RPGs or JRPGs or something, then there's massive games are coming out, and smaller games, big games, everything. If you're really into it, you could basically starting with Like a Dragon, Like a Dragon, Persona 3 Reload. If you have a PlayStation, then Final Fantasy VII.
Wait, I'm looking at something before that. Yulden Chronicles.
Yes.
I think that's in
Yulden.
Yeah, Yulden Chronicles. Unicorn. Oh, no, well, that's more of a tactics game.
Unicorn Overlord. Yeah, something like a Fire Emblem kind of game. Yeah. Yeah, so strategy, tactical role playing game. Yeah, and then you get Dragon's Dogma is not turn based, but it's still an RPG. Mm-hmm. Dragon's Dogma 2 is coming in the end of March, so you could basically, because the games are so long, you could go through the whole year just playing those
just
games.
Just playing RPGs. Yeah.
Yes. So I won't, but you could. So that's great. I see Alone in the Dark is coming in March 2. Don't have any hopes for Alone in the Dark, basically.
See every because it's very survival horror looking.
Yes.
I see every survival horror game, and I'm like, great. That's not for me. I don't know what it is. I am squeamish. Not squeamish. I won't say squeamish. I don't like horror games. Did I say this last week? Last time? I don't like horror games.
I don't know.
I watch horror movies.
Yeah,
I don't like horror games. Okay. So yeah. So Alone in the Dark is in that same thing. It looks interesting. I know it's an older series that they're bringing to relevance again, I guess, but I don't know. I don't have any expectation for it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the OG. It's a 1992 game. It's one, if not the first, survival horror game. So Resident Evil took lots of inspirations from it. But it's not important for, I guess, 20,
the only thing I know about it is the terrible movie years. That it had. It had an awful with Christian movie. That's it. Yeah, with Christian Slater.
Christian Slater, right, yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, and in a new game, David Harbour?
David Harbour.
Harbour, yeah, the guy from Stranger Things. Is in there, and I like him, but it's always, if I see, hey, it's THD Nordic, it's a THQ Nordic game, I say, I guess I pass. I guess I wait.
No. Not a. So wait, okay, so is that just THQ Nordic, or is that the entirety of Embracer Group games? Because you know THQ Nordic is part of Embracer Group.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, when was the last good game Embracer put out? The last good.
You gotta keep track of all the games that come out of there. Well, I know Dead Island 2 got pretty good critical acclaim. And then, right, if I'm just thinking off the top of my head without looking at a list of games, I'm thinking Dead Island 2. I'm thinking, what are the Metroid Exodus?
Embracer 2?
Yeah, they own 4A Games, which is the Metro guys.
Oh, okay. Good. Okay.
Honestly, those are the only two that I can think of right off the top of my head. I would need a list. I would need a list of Embracer Group like releases to be like which ones are great. Borderlands 3?
Yeah, they own back then it wasn't.
Well, Borderlands 3 came out before they owned them. So.
So did
Metro Exodus as well.
Yeah, so it's just, well, THQ itself wasn't a big they had good games, but THQ was not the greatest publisher back then. And then
to me, when I think of THQ, it's always like it's a wealth of AA games with like a few. Yeah. I think their biggest games that I remember were like the wrestling games that they had, like the WWE games.
Yeah.
The ones that were like the biggest games that I can think of coming out of them. I could be wrong. That's just what's in my head.
Mass. PlayStation 2, first PlayStation 2 game.
Splitters?
No. Yeah, Time Splitter? No. Red. So where we with Destruction, we could
just, Red Faction.
Red Faction, yeah.
Yes, Red Faction.
That's it. Yes.
Yes, you're right. Red Faction, I loved Red Faction 2.
Yeah, that was Q, I guess.
Yeah, it's it's actually Volition. Was it not Volition? Yeah, Volition.
Yeah, right.
Upsetting that they got closed out. Yeah.
It was, yeah. Yeah, I just said it's the same with Ubisoft. We talked about Ubisoft.
Mm-hmm.
So if I see it's published by THQ Nordic, I'm just not getting hyped. Yeah, THQ Nordic game. So it's just a wait and see approach.
I feel that. Yeah.
Other than Capcom, beispielsweise. I said beispielsweise. Okay. For example. For example, Dragon's Dogma 2. It's by Capcom. It's Capcom or Capcom?
Capcom. Don't use me as the example for how to pronounce things, because I'm not the Capcom. I say Capcom.
Capcom. Okay. So. If Capcom released something, I'll be interested in. So no matter what, and if THQ is releasing something, I'd say, let's wait and see.
So is Dragon Dogmas 2 on the list of ones that you're definitely getting, or are you gonna wait and see? Because that is another RPG.
It's another RPG. My problem. We are talking March 2020. March 2020. 2024. 2020, 24, whatever. No, the day. I said the day. March.
Oh. Yeah, it's March 22nd.
22nd, yes, right.
Yeah.
So March 22nd. Three games are coming out on this day. Dragon's Dogma 2, Princess Peach Showtime, Rise of the Ronin. I guess some people would say, yeah, it's clear Thomas is getting Princess Peach.
That was my thought.
That's right.
As you're talking about it, I was like, okay, out of the three.
No, I'm right now not exactly sure what the game is about.
Yeah.
So, and so I'm not that interested in, because it's a Nintendo game, it's $60, a Princess Peach is not my favorite IP from Nintendo. I don't any merch, I don't own any merch.
Thomas said he's a Daisy stan.
So it's a fight against Dragon's Dogma 2 against Rise of the Ronin. Maybe I would. Rise of the Ronin is a bit more interesting for me. Yeah, maybe. So, because.
Well, are you a fan of Team Ninja games? Like, did you play Wulong? So that's the difficult. Noah fan?
No, I didn't like Wulong. I didn't like Neo.
Is it pronounced Neo or Noah?
Neo? No. This with the white PlayStation exclusive. Yeah.
I know the game. I don't know how it's pronounced.
I don't know. Yeah. In German, we'd say Neo. I don't know. It's Neo.
We go with Neo. Yeah.
Somebody will tell me after this episode, I guess. So not the biggest fan. But
the games what stuck out to you with Rise of Ronin.
Three things. First, well, setting. Okay. Setting. So, but they will have difficulty options. And it's an open world. So, and I know since I played Elden Ring that an open world Souls-like game is a bit easier. Because you can just go the other way around and you just can go level up your character, and so, and then come back. So, and that's could be an opportunity where I say, yeah, I give it a try.
Okay.
So, and I hope it's not a 70-hour long game. So I hope it's just maybe 13.
Yeah, I don't think they're particularly known for making lengthy games.
Yeah.
Are they?
So,
yeah. No.
No, I guess not. So I would be fine if it's 25 hours, 30 hours, 35, something like that, and I would be good. Dragon's Dogma, on the other hand, I guess it's a pretty long game. I'm not hyped for it because I didn't play the first one. So I heard good things about it. So everybody, Dragon's Dogma is announced. Whoa, great. Amazing, great, awesome. And I bought it for...
Same.
But I don't know how... Well, I heard in this week, I heard comparisons to even the Elder Scrolls. And I didn't expect because I have no experience with it. I thought it's a smaller RPG with good combat, and now I heard some Elder Scrolls comparisons, and I was, whoa, it's a big one. It's really
it's big
one.
Game.
It's a big game. Oh God.
And I think what interested me the most is like watching some of these clips and some gameplay footage from the original game and from 2, where like it seems like you can do a lot in battle. Like, you know, they were showing people you can climb up on the monsters, or you can like jump off from like a cliff and land on somebody's like neck. Like, I was like, oh, that's cool. Like the interactivity in the battle, that's one of the things that like that stood out to me, because I'm like, that's what I want to see more of in games, that you have like the options to do a bunch of different things in the fights and not just always, you know, tap X to swing. You know, right. I could climb up on his back and stab him in the neck. Like, I would do that. I see an enemy like at the bottom of the cliff. I could jump off the cliff and land on top of the enemy. And like I'm going to do that. Like, if you give me the option to do more stuff like that. So it's just finding a place for it in the queue, basically. Me buying a game is me somewhat giving, like, I'm dedicated to at least giving it a go. I already paid the money. So at some point, Dragon's Dogma is going to be on my hard drive, on my screen, and I'm going to be playing. I just can't say when.
Yeah, that's a point, because I will try Persona 3 Reload, because it's on Game Pass. It's going to be on Game Pass February the 2nd. Mm-hmm. So it's a long game. So I don't know if I can beat it until March, basically. So, and in March there is Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. So if I like Persona 3,
February, right? Oh no, well, it releases February 29th. It's March.
Yeah. So it's basically March. So yeah. If I like Persona 3, I would have to beat it until sometime in March to have time for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. And this is a long game too. So
make it to Rise of the Ronin or Dragon's Dogma 2.
That's the point. So that's the point. And so I guess
it's all dependent on Persona 3 Reload.
Basically, it is. So, but I guess I'm in the same boat as you. So, I guess down the road, I will try Dragon's Dogma 2. So, but it could be in the summer or even later on.
Yeah, exactly. And, oh, also too, because we were talking about it, and it's in April. I think the game that I'm gonna be giving a go in terms of RPGs is gonna be Yulden Chronicles, 100 Heroes. I played the prequel game, Rising, and I enjoyed that. I got all the achievements in it. I played it for like 30-ish hours.
It's another the new one is, but it's all, you know, it's a big RPG too.
Yeah, I know. And it's like I said, the reason why I am trying to get through Lost Odyssey now is specifically because I saw Yulden Chronicles and I thought it looked really cool and I wanted to like prepare myself to play. I didn't want to go into that turn-based RPG and be like, yeah, I'm gonna play from here because I'm probably not gonna finish it. And it does look like a game that I want to put my time into. I just gotta get myself ready for it. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's from the guys that made the original. So now we are at naming or pronunciation. Suikoden? I don't know.
Yeah, it's like Suikoden. So I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Never played the game, but apparently it's an acclaimed series.
Right, so, and it's a remaster is announced for this year too, I guess.
Oh, okay, but, yeah.
So Suikoden or whatever 1 and 2 remaster HD could be coming this year as well. So if I'm not totally wrong, but it's Konami, so we don't know because Konami these days. Yeah, and that's basically the first quarter, and after that, we just have dates for you mentioned Black Myth Wukong,
And like Destiny 2's The Final Shape DLC. That's about the. I'm looking at the list. That's kind of it.
Yeah, Warhammer 40K, Space Marines 2 is coming out on September 9th.
I don't know if I trust that date.
But that's it. So from these games, Black Myth Wukong would be the one I might look into, but I don't know if it's day one or not. Yeah.
And the trailers look great. Yeah. It's still a game that I'm skeptical on in terms of, but I'm not a big Souls-like guy.
Yeah.
We're seeing the success of a lot of those Souls-like games, and I think that's great for the genre and people that like those games. But when I see that everybody's like, "Oh, it's a Souls-like," that does not increase my interest in games. So bunch of games that are like, "Okay, that looks cool. It's a Souls-like. Maybe I'll try it." That's where I'm at with it. It looks pretty, and I'm ecstatic that a game that looks the way it looks and has the combat that looks like it's going to be as interesting as it is actually has a release date. Because for a good long while, I thought this game was vaporware.
Yeah.
Because we were getting these super fancy demos and like just it looks super great. It is to nothing for like 3 years. So
yeah, right. That's my point. Also, so I have nothing to add basically, because I know I watched one trailer and I said, yeah, it's look pretty. And that's it. And now you mentioned Souls-like, and now I'm less interested in.
Oh man! I didn't mean to do that to you. Oh, but it does come out the day before my birthday.
Okay, good. Yeah, might be a great present. But there are more games that might come out this year that it has no date.
Just games in the ether for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And there's a few out there.
Yeah. Do you have some games where you are really interested in?
Yeah. So, like I said, my year is, for the most part, going to be Game Pass and some backlog games. Probably the two biggest games that I'm looking forward to this year are Avowed. Specifically played through the first one. I haven't finished the second one yet, but I played through I saw the trailer for Avowed. I played through the Pillars of Eternity. I actually finished the first one this year after attempting to beat it over the course of like 2 years. And put like I put 120 hours into 120, 130 hours into this game. The game
I beat it in 20 hours.
I was about to say the game is supposed to be beaten in like 20, 30 hours.
Yeah, right.
I put like 120 hours because I was doing a lot. I was going back to places and redoing fights and doing all kinds. And I'm pretty sure a good chunk of that time is like quick resume time, where they probably just kept counting the time, but it was
okay.
But I put a decent amount of time into the game. So I finally finished that. I want to finish Deadfire. I want to finish Deadfire before Avowed comes out, but I'm super looking forward to Avowed. I really enjoyed that world that they built, and the writing for it was really good in the first game, and them bringing that into a gameplay genre that I'm more familiar with it being a first-person RPG, because the real time with pause, me not being a CRPG guy and not growing up playing computer RPGs, and it not being the best for controller, that was the biggest thing for me to get over, was the real time with pause. But after playing it for a few hours, I actually got into it, and I'm looking forward to getting to the combat in Deadfire, because it's not terrible. It's just something that I'm not used to, because I've never played PC RPGs. Of course, the second game that's like top on my list is Hellblade 2. I'm super looking forward to Hellblade 2. I would have never played the first one.
Hellblade 2.
Hellblade 2's Senua's Sacrifice.
Is this the other way around? Sacrifice. I don't know. Is it Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2?
I'm sorry. Senua's Sacrifice is the first one. Senua's Saga. Yes, it's Senua's Saga.
But, yeah, because I just called it Hellblade 2. Also,
so it's Hellblade 2. Like, it's me, Senua's Saga Hellblade 2, but it's Hellblade 2.
That's the official title.
So the first game is one of those games. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be completely honest. I remember when it released on PlayStation, and it got all this critical acclaim, and I was like, I don't care about that game. I was like, I don't care about that game. It's on PlayStation. Because it's on
PlayStation, yeah.
And then, like, you know, Microsoft bought Ninja Theory, and then they put it on. Well, before they bought Ninja Theory, they put it on Game Pass. And I was like, I was like, all right, well, it's on Game Pass. Let me check it out. And I started it, and I didn't get past. I was like, yo, it's taking too long for me to. I was like, it's taking too long for me to get down the river on this damn log. So I didn't even get past the first time I turned it on. I didn't get past the opening part where you're just like going down the river in the log. I was like, this is taking too long, whatever. But then when I finally like went at it again and gave the game a chance and actually played through it, it's one of my favorite games of all time. Enjoyed it. They did so many. Did you play it
with headphones?
The first time I didn't. It wasn't until the second time that I played it where I played it with headphones and was like, yo, that's when it became one of my favorite games of all time. The first time I enjoyed it. But with the audio, the way that they did the audio, once I played it with heads, I was like, yo, this is it changes the way that the game is, especially several of the fights. The to give any spoilers, but one particular boss fight. Yes. One particular boss fight, like it helps tremendously. So I'm super looking forward to if they take the things that they did with the first Hellblade game, with the audio and the story and the way that they crafted the world and all that stuff, and then just make a bigger, better game. I'm super excited for that. So that's the Hellblade 2 is probably going to be like it don't matter what else I'm doing. The day that it's going to be preloaded on my Xbox, and the day that it drops, I'm not playing anything else but that.
Yeah.
And I can't really say that for every single other. There are other games that I'm super excited about, but I know everything's stopping personally for me for Hellblade 2.
I know there's another RPG you're looking forward to from Atlus.
Oh, yes. This may be my weeb game of the year. I might actually, like, no matter what the cost, I might just be like, I'm going to plop down that day one. Because the last game where I was like, I looked at it and saw the trailers and was excited enough about it. It's like, I don't care. I plopped down the money and got it the day that it came out was Scarlet Nexus. And I enjoyed the heck out of Scarlet Nexus. Yeah? I actually got all the achievements and everything in it. Ooh. Metaphor Refantasio looks like that will be the game for me this year that I'm just going to plop down the bucks and see what happens.
Yeah.
Something about, I think the battle system is what has me interested, because everybody talks about Atlus and how great their games are. But as I've stated before, it's difficult for me to get through, not get into, but get through turn-based strategy games. And while Metaphor Refantasio still looks like it's primarily a turn-based battle game, I watched the extended overview, the dev overview video that they had about it, and they talked about the combat system. And it seems that the action combat in the game is a lot more extensive than it's been. Because I tried a little bit of Soul Hackers 2 as well. I played some Persona 5 Golden. Right, Golden? Yeah. No, Royale.
Royal.
I played some of Persona 5 Royal, and I played some of Soul Hackers 2. So I have a little bit of an understanding of how the Atlus RPGs work. And to me, Metaphor Refantasio looks like it's more in the wheelhouse of a game that I'll be able to get through.
Okay.
in comparison to their other games. Because sometimes you just got to find, like, I know I do this a lot. I'm not going to speak for you, but I would assume you have the same. There are some games or some franchises where I was like, I wish I could get into that, but something is keeping me from getting into their games, right? Yeah. There's developers out there that is like, I wish I could get into that series, but something is keeping me from it. The Yakuza series is kind of like that for me. I want to get into those games, but it's just a daunting task to be like, yo, there's 9 of these games to play through if I actually enjoy one of the ones that I own. So I feel like Metaphor Refantasy, I'm just gonna keep saying it too because I like the name of the game.
Yeah,
Metaphor
Refantasy.
So that's my this is how I'm gonna jump into it. I think that's my this is how I'm gonna jump into Atlas games. It's gonna be that one because it seems like with the more extensive action combat, I can actually get through it more than I would if it's straight up just a turn-based game.
Just say the name again.
Metaphor Refantasia.
It's unbelievable. So you're reading it from your screen or something, right?
No, I'm just talking.
Wow, impressive. Impressive, because it's announced for 6-8 months or so, and I have always looked up the name.
I honestly, the name of it is one of the things. Like, I don't know why I like the name, but I just like the name, like Metaphor Refantasy. I was like, what is that? That sounds cool.
Yeah,
but it just sounds cool. So,
I understand
it. I'm probably
going
to be buying that. Right. No, actually, that's not a probably. I'm definitely going to be buying that game, right, unless it comes out on Game Pass. Like, but they haven't announced it for Game Pass.
No, they haven't. Yeah. So I know 2 more games, and then we out.
All right.
So, Stalker 2. Is it coming this year or not?
You know what? I want that game to come out whenever the developers of that game want it to come out. They, it's not just GS, what is it, GSG? GSC World, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it's not just GSC World, but all the developers in that area that are dealing with the, war with Russia, like, their country's at war. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, the game didn't come out yet because it keeps getting delayed. Why keep getting delayed? Because they're at war. So I want the game to come out in the best possible state that it can come out. And I want them to have all the time that they can have to come out with a stellar game. Because, hey, everybody else, y'all came out with games during COVID, and that's great. Y'all did a great, well, some of y'all. Most of y'all did a great job with the games that y'all came out with during COVID. But COVID plus war, like, I can't be too upset about the state that the game comes out in because of the background that it's in. But I know, like, when they showed the more recent trailer for it, visually, it wasn't as impressive or standoutish in the more recent trailer as it was when they first showed it, but it still looks really good. I never played the first Stalker game, so just the setting and the environment and the type of game it is, I'm looking forward to seeing exactly what it is. Is it like a to my understanding, it's very like Metro-esque, because like the people that did Metro came from the people that did Stalker, so it's very like more what Exodus was, being kind of open world and a first person RPG, but with really good shooting mechanics. That's what I'm assuming the game is going to be.
Yeah.
But I might be wrong. Is it more of just a shooter? Is it more of like a RPG?
More shooter, I guess.
More shooter? Okay.
Yeah. But I'm not an expert in this game, so I could be completely wrong.
It looks interesting. It's coming out on Game Pass. I'm going to try it on Game Pass first. And honestly, if I enjoy playing the game, I'm going to buy it specifically because I want to support the studio. They're dealing with the issues that they're dealing with. I want all games to be successful. I want every studio out there It's obviously impossible, but I want every studio out there to nail the type of game that they want to make and then be successful with it. And you can't do that with every game. And I'm not just going to blatantly be like, oh, I'll buy the game because they had trouble. It sucks that they had trouble. But if the game is good, I will buy the game because the game is good, even though they went through all the trouble that they went through.
Right. So, last game.
For me or for you, just in general?
Yes, for this show. We will be talking about one last game. So, I know which games, but do you?
No. I'm not, because I can think of like three more games that we could discuss.
So, the last game we talk about is Star Wars Outlaws.
Oh, see, that's one of the three that I was thinking of.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's, I guess this or last week, they assured it's going to be a 2024 game.
Mm-hmm.
Late 2024.
Okay.
I liked the reveal back in last summer.
Yes.
And the gameplay trailer, basically. Because I really like that you're not a Jedi. So it's more, that you see more Star Wars on a from a regular person. So I know you're a smuggler or something, but that's what I like.
This is where I got from it. I think that Massive Entertainment is Ubisoft's best studio. The Snowdrop engine is a great engine. We see that they can do visual fidelity really well, because even if I haven't played it, Avatar, the Pandora game, that looks amazing.
Right.
Like, you can't take away from the visual fidelity of that game. Whether you want to play it or not because of the game it is, it's cool, but it looks great. I like the Division games for as much as I played them. I played the first one a lot. I didn't play the second one much, but I know that Massive knows how to do shooting, because the shooting was never a problem in that game, and they know how to... they know how to craft a world and build a good place to like play around in. So I think if you like the type of games that they make and you like Star Wars, like, this is going to be a home run knock out of the park in terms of them doing a good game for you. Yeah. I'm excited to see what the game is about. Me getting it this year very heavily depends on some other factors, namely if I get through Jedi Survivors this year, depending on when it drops in EA Play. I was about to say, yeah. Depending on when it drops in EA Play, because it technically doesn't drop in the Game Pass. But if I'm playing two Star Wars games this year, it's going to be Jedi Survivor and it's going to be Outlaws. Will Outlaws make it in this year depends on if I finish Survivor, because I'm not going to... They're different games. They look like they're different games, but I'm not going to... I already got a bunch of other games to like fit into the rotation. I'm not going to put those back to back, you know?
Yeah. So, and how do you feel overall about 2024? So
I think with the slate of games that could be coming out, because like we said, we talked about a bunch of games that we know are coming out this year. And then there's a laundry list of games that might come out this year, depending on when release dates are given. I honestly think we're going to see more of what we saw in 2023, which is we're going to see some great greats. And hopefully we see less lows. But we're going to see some disappointments. I don't want to see. Hopefully, we don't see any more like Golems or King Kongs or the Day Before games next year. But like, or I guess I'll add it because everybody else adds it. Or like the Red Falls launch. Like, hopefully, we won't see too many of those games next year. But I do feel like we're going to see a lot of games that rise to the top, and we're going to see games that may. We're going to see games get overlooked, I feel like, just because the slate is so huge. We're going to see games get overlooked. There's a few games 2024 now. There's a few games in 2023 that I feel like I haven't played them, but I feel like, oh, if it wasn't so stacked, that game would have had more of a chance to survive. And as we get through this year, I feel like we're going to see several of those where it's like, okay, that game came out and it could have did better, but it's because there's so much other stuff coming out, especially once we get what the rest of the year looks like. April through December might be a battlefield. We don't know. Because this year, like every month was a battlefield. Like there was one or two games coming out every single month, at least, that was like up there in the purview of like what people are looking at. Like, these are games that I want to buy. 4 or 5 games a month, 2-3 games a month. That's a lot. So I think we'll see more of that in 2024.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully more successes than failures.
That's for sure. I guess Xbox will have a good year. The quality is there, and the quality checks are there, so that we are not getting.
Hoping the quality is there and the quality is consistent across titles.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't want another Redfall or Forza Motorsport. Where it took several weeks or months until they are in a stable state. So delay it a bit if the quality isn't there day one. So that's my hope.
Also, another one too. That's a that could be a whole other episode in itself. Possible games from first party that could come out. Another one that I could see us seeing something from is South of Midnight.
Yeah,
Compulsion Games. It's been about 2019 is when they finished up on We Happy Few.
Yes.
2024 is coming up, so a good almost four to five years and they already announced it. So maybe that's something that they could show us more of and be like, hey, yeah, look, surprise drop for 2024. We told you it was coming. We just didn't say when.
Yeah. So I'm the best thing in this year. There's no FTC court, and there's no AB. Yeah. Okay. But there's no big ABK. Will they buy it or will it not? And we will talk weeks and months about it.
I'm so glad that is done. Not even whether they got APK or didn't get APK. I'm just glad it's done. I've said from the beginning that I can see why it's important to the brand. I can see why it's important to the fans of those franchises and stuff. I'm not going to say that I'm not a fan at all of any of the Activision or Blizzard franchises, but I'm not a big fan. Like, I didn't play WoW. The only StarCraft game that I was interested in was when they showed Ghosts, like, back in the day, and then it disappeared into the ether. I play Overwatch 2, but that's because I played the first one. Like, Overwatch is fun. Like, I like Overwatch. That's probably the biggest thing that I play from Blizzard, or the thing that I play the most from Blizzard is Overwatch. Yeah. And I'm not really the super big COD fan other than playing through the campaigns. I like the prototype games. I like their old Marvel games and stuff. But I think the Bethesda purchase for me was more exciting than the ABK purchase. But the ABK purchase was like, oh, wow, they really are buying ABK. Yeah. Now that they're done, now that they've acquired ABK, I'm not going to say now they're done. Now that ABK is acquired, and it won't be the news cycle anymore, and it won't be the focus of the because it has been the focus of Xbox for the last 2 years. Let's not focus on that anymore. Let's focus on doing what Xbox needs to do to be in a good place to where there's no ifs, ands, or buts about the quality of the platform. As people say, we're tired of saying, oh, I enjoy my Xbox, but there's buts for Nintendo and there's buts for Sony too, but like more butts, I guess, or people point out the butts more for Xbox than they do for Nintendo and PlayStation. But yeah, when they can get to a point when they can get to that point where there's less butts for people to be pointing out at, that's what they need to be focusing on now.
Xbox got more butts, so. So as an Xbox fan, you're a bots guy.
Which makes it sad that we don't get Stellar Blade.
Yeah. So, oh, whoa. The images in my head. That's all I
remember from the trailer for that game is just like, oh, yeah. Anime butt.
Yeah, but so looking for more butts. No, I meant I'm happy that we will be talking about games more this year, and, I guess, and less
about acquisitions and court dates.
Acquisitions, right? Yeah. So that should be good. And I guess that should be for this week. So we're ending on a butt note. And thank you for your time. Thank you for listening. See you next time. You're Thomas.
And this is Token. See you next time.